It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm here in Stan Cock here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, we're talking to Max Egan all the way from Australia. And we, you know, we just were doing an interview with another gentleman, James Corbett from Japan, and the internet went out. It just came up in time for us to do Max. So hopefully we're not going to have a problem, but this is exactly the issue that we're going to be talking about. When you're talking about important issues and you say certain words and certain things and certain, it goes down. It turns off. This Facebook feed live of is done. The YouTube, the dispatch. Well, a lot of these centralized ones don't have a problem, but where is the vulnerability? It's your ISPs. It's internet service provider. If they don't want you, and of course, I got them to say, I put in my record, I talked to the customer service guy, Max. I go like this. I said, now you don't limit bandwidth or something based on what I'm doing or connected with you. No, heavens and purgatory. We would never do that. We won't do that. That would be bad. Okay. So I'm going, okay, you guys said, you pinky swore. So I'm really looking forward to us having this conversation in light of what happened to Max Egan. Now, he's a radio host, political commentator, activist, world traveler, author, lecturer, philosopher, been around a while. He currently lives in New South Wales, Australia. He's a musician, artist, has been experimenting with computer art. Most of his time these days is spent on his radio show, video presentations, research into government corruption and ancient history, working on his next book and art when he can find the time. I tell you, the one thing that we got the last time we talked to you for the first time, we got to introduce ourselves to you, and you got to introduce yourself to the audience. We got to know, we see you at Anarchapoco, you know, in the last couple of years. And I need to ask you, and you monologue me on, don't be modest. You know, what makes you such a threat that YouTube would suspend your primary channel from posting for 3 months? What were you talking about, and what makes you so important?
Reporting on Christchurch is the problem. They don't want anyone reporting on the Christchurch shooting. And there's been a huge amount of damage control with this Christchurch shooting. There really has. There's been a narrative that's been pushed out there. And I've been getting majorly attacked because I'm not supporting that narrative, and so they've basically disabled my channel. And, you know, when I went in and started looking at the Christchurch shooting, like within hours of this shooting happening, the independent media was saying this is all fake and it's all crisis tactics and it's all CGI and all sorts of stuff like that, CGI shell casings and all sorts of stuff like that. I'm thinking, well, this is interesting. We've got it on film. We've got a video to prove all this fakery. So I downloaded the film. I started pulling it apart without any stake in the outcome either way. I mean, I don't want it to be fake. I don't want it to be real. I'm just looking at it to see what the evidence shows me. And I can't find any evidence to support any of the claims of fakery that I'm hearing from people. I'm finding, and the more I look at it, actually, the more I find evidence to the contrary. And I've been suggesting that people really think for themselves and suggesting that we've been set up with this. I mean, they've staged a lot of fake attacks. They have. Sandy Hook. Boston bombing. The Boston bombing was so obviously fake that it belied any form of sanity that anybody even believed it. I mean, it was incredible the crisis actors they had there, people who were amputees and all sorts of stuff, legs falling off. I mean, it was so hopeless the way they did it. It was like the Keystone Cops or something. So they've set all this up and they've put this mentality into the so-called truth movement. When now by we expect everything to be fake and we go in there with confirmation bias and we start looking at things. And I don't do that. I look at every event as a separate event. And what I'm seeing with Christchurch is that they've set us up to start thinking everything's fake, and they've staged a real event, and they're going to use this to shut us down, to shut down the independent media. And we've seen all sorts of ripples going out from this as well. If you take it back and you look at Sandy Hook and the Boston bombing, how they set this whole idea of everything being a hoax and nobody ever dies at these shootings, got that into the minds of people. Then with Pizzagate, they set up this whole fake news concept. Here we suddenly saw a pizza store being attacked because people in the truth movement were saying all these things. The whole fake news meme was created, and suddenly we became perceived as something a little bit dangerous that may be influencing people to do bad things. Now we see this whole Brendan Tarrant thing. You read his manifesto, it reads like a ideology of the truth movement, and it's peppered with all sorts of extremist rhetoric through it. And he talks about the great replacement of our society through immigration and all sorts of stuff that's happening in Europe. You see the vilification of everybody through this. You tie this in with how they deplatformed Alex Jones and made it so public. Recently, they banned David Icke from travel into Australia because of his political viewpoint. So this has sort of legitimatized deplatforming people, and it's legitimized putting travel bans on people. Since Christchurch, we've seen a man called Martin Selman in Austria has had his ESTA visa revoked because January 2018, he received a random donation from someone who happened to be Brendan Tarrant. And a couple of days ago, or a week ago, he woke up to find seven policemen at his door wanting to confiscate all of his stuff. Now he's plastered all over European newspapers as being a right-wing extremist who influenced Brendan Tarrant, because he is a man who's running an organization called Generation Identity, which is not right-wing extremist. It's just trying to get people in Europe to stand up for the identity of their countries and maintain it to stop this huge migrant takeover that's happening into Europe. So you can see now we've got a guy who's had his travel visa revoked because he got a random donation from someone. So how long will it be before they set up a Patsy or a Patsy account or a dummy account? They give him $20 a month. He donates to 50 different truth channels through Patreon. Have this guy set up to do something. Suddenly we get deplatformed, have the police at our doors because we've been supported by someone who's perceived to be a terrorist now, and obviously we've influenced him to do it. And when these terror events happen, look what we do. We stand up and call it all fake and hoax, and we re-traumatize all the victims, and we spread fake news about it. So this will all be used as a mechanism to shut down the independent media, and we've seen it already. You go and search on YouTube now and do a search for Christchurch false flag. All you'll get will be CBS, CNN, NBC, Fox, VT, The Guardian. All you'll get is mainstream reports. Go search for Christchurch Exposed. Go search for Sandy Hook false flag. Go search for anything conspiratorial at all on YouTube or Google, and all you will get is mainstream reports, all since Christchurch. So you really got to look at the way this is being played. And like I said, when I started looking at this, I didn't go in there trying to prove it's real or false. I just went
no,
in.
No, I listened to your presentation.
I broke it down frame by frame.
So. And the presentation I thought was reasoned, you know, it was mature, and it didn't have any video. You just had your place-holding, psychedelic, acid-tripping, pretty background, whatever the heck it was, you know, plus something pleasant to look at while you're talking. And I'm going, all right, made reasonable arguments, didn't go on too long, wasn't too short, made a point, next. That's why they go after you. I mean, I'll tell you, when you have someone with the influence that you've garnered and the taken, you know, an experienced individual having an opinion about something, I tell you, I don't know if it's AI or individuals, but man, when they see that you know, Max Egan had something to say about this and he talked about it and said, and you're done. And I just saw it was, and how fast did it go? I mean, from the time you loaded that show, how long?
Oh, it was within a day, it was gone, you know. So, I mean, and everything. And then I uploaded another one and thought, might be a bit risque. So I deleted it myself because I figured it's already on BitChute. And I uploaded a one-minute clip to explain why I deleted the previous video. And all I had was a spinning yin and yang icon on it and me talking. And YouTube flagged that for inappropriate material and put a flag against my channel and told me I couldn't upload for 7 months.
No, YouTube didn't do it. Somebody did. You know, it's like, yeah, you can say YouTube, but I mean, there's something going on. And this is, we can go on and on about the censorship and all that. And I really don't want to waste a bunch of time on that, because I think we're building to bypass them and screw them. You know, I sit back and laugh up my sleeve every time they do this kind of crap, because I'm going, you know what's happening. You know, you're squeezing your Darth Vader fist and more star systems are going to leak out. So I'm like, fine, we got a whole bunch of star systems to go here. But what I wanted to talk about is you have a large audience. I don't know, you can share how big it is, but you have an audience and you have influence. And a lot of it is from, you just, what I always had said when I first started doing radio back in 03, nobody asks why anymore. Nobody just said that, you do blah, blah, blah. Okay, why? You're not supposed to ask why. Well, because America, I mean, you know, or something, you know. And it was, you're asking why a lot about, you know, why this and why that. And you're going, and you start looking at some ancient history. I have been really enamored by some channels that I've been starting to learn the history. I don't think that they want us to know. They're not teaching us. And it seems like it keeps getting consolidated by the Catholic Church and the Vatican and the basement of you're not allowed to know. And I'm going, what is going on? Well, Max Egan is the guy. You go to him, he's going to tell you all about back in the day and something did. But I need to understand more than the how old the Sphinx really is and how old the Great Pyramids and what they did. They pump water. They made energy. We were talking about it on the show today, you know, this morning. And I'm going, you know, that's all really interesting, but I'm wanting to really understand why and who is keeping the information from it. What do they benefit? Why, Max? Why?
Well, yeah, if we knew what our history was, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. We wouldn't be working these jobs and thinking that all this economic system's real and all this stuff that we do. I mean, the more you look at history, the more you realize that all of it's fabricated. All of it. All we really know is that which exists within living memory. And the more I look into this, I mean, I would suggest that the history in the last 100 years is about 50% correct. 100 to 150 years is probably about 25% correct. And before that, it's probably mostly fabricated. You know, and little bits of jumbled up stuff here and there, stuff that they tell us happened thousands of years ago, which didn't actually happen hundreds of years ago. Everything's all messed up. You know, but you remove someone's history from them, it's like a tree with no roots. A man with no history is like a tree with no roots. And so, you know, we wouldn't do all these things. I mean, even the more you look at it, you start looking at the population figures. And you know, even if there's 7.7 billion people on Earth, which I kind of doubt, but even if it is, let's say that's right, and there is 7.7 billion people on Earth, you've got to look back, how long would it take to get 7.7 billion people? Well, even if you're someone who believes in the Bible and the flow of Noah and all this sort of stuff, there would be far more people. There'd be 10 times as many people on this Earth now than what there is now, even taking the flood of Noah and all that stuff into account. If you're not a biblical person and you buy into the evolution story and all that sort of stuff, well, there should be 100 times more people on Earth than what there is now. So well, none of the
how do you come up with that, Kat? Why would you say that?
Well, you know, when you look at how quick population doubles, you know, 7.7 billion people, and why are none of the trees, none of the forests, most of the forests aren't any older than 200 years old. There are some sections where they're older than 200, and there's trees that are older than 200, but they're all marked and catalogued. Who went and marked and catalogued all that stuff? Up at the ridge here behind where I live, we were going and a friend of mine was walking the other day. They found all these huge hexagonal columns that are all just there. And people say it's just a nice rock formation. It looks like an old castle that got blown up on top of a hill here in Australia. I mean, history is very different to what they tell us. And there's every indication that there was a worldwide civilization that existed not too long ago. Up until possibly as recently as the mid-1800s or the early 1800s, you know, called Tartaria. It was mainly based in Europe, and it seems to have influenced most of the world. And we don't have any record of this in our history books, but you can find records of it all around the world. And when you look at the architecture and the monuments, the Sphinx, all of this stuff that's lying everywhere, you start trying to fit it in with what we're given in academic history, the timeline we're given. None of it makes sense. But if you factor in the possibility that they changed history and that they pushed everything back 1,000 years and they added 1,000 years to our timeline, called it the Dark Ages, and said, oh, nothing ever happened there, no records, nobody died, no kings, no battles, nothing, no, in every country on earth, just that 1,000 years where nobody ever wrote anything down. And we just kind of go, oh, okay, no worries, and we buy into it. What if that didn't happen at all? What if this stuff happened just hundreds of years ago and not thousands? Well, when you factor it in, suddenly all these monuments and all this stuff we're finding begins to make sense. You know, and history is written by the winners. And, you know, you can take kids to a public education system and you can teach them whatever history you want, and you can change history over as quickly as 1 or 2 generations. Because the parents are too, you know, they're caught up in the rigors of everyday life and watching TV and their favorite soap opera and all the stuff they're doing, and, you know, climbing to the top of the economic pile that they've created for themselves and getting the latest jet ski or whatever. They're not really paying much attention to what the kids are being taught. And by the time these kids grow up, they've got a completely different history in their mind to what the parents have got. And they just think the parents are, oh, the old folks who don't know what's going on. They have got the old education that didn't work. I've got the new education that does work. So, you know, you can see how it's done. It's very, very easy to change history. All you got to do is give people books that look nice and professional and tell them that's what it is and get them to regurgitate.
Yeah, no, I got to share with you on this book thing. It was... In 1960, late 60s, 67, 68, around in there, I remember my family. I was a little kid. I was born in 61, so I was probably, you know, like first grade, second grade starting. And my family, door-to-door salesman, World Book Encyclopedia. They come and they, so we had those all the way through my kids growing up. My wife, there was a textbook she had. She was taking a history class, and it was $70-something textbook. Well, we couldn't afford it at the time. Using encyclopedia. The professor gives her 120% on her paper. Oh, my God, this is the greatest thing ever. How did you ever know it was on the Dark Ages and the serfdoms of whatever? And then she does another paper. He gives her 110, you know, and he's, wow, this is great research. I wanted to go meet him because we were, by that time, we were doing politics and so on. I wanted to, you know, why was this so great? I go, she doesn't have a textbook. She didn't use the textbook. She used a 40-year-old encyclopedia. Is it really that bad? You know, yes, it is. What's happened is the Encyclopedia Britannica, I mean, now you got internet, but I mean, even up until the mid-90s and so on, they're selling encyclopedias, and you had the same size in another 40 years. They had to take something out. You know? So I'm going, what are they keep taking out? And what do they keep writing? Then we got Microsoft had Encyclopedia on CDs. Now we had two sets. Our kids learned a lot from the World Book Encyclopedia, the old ones. We had the National Geographic had every single edition that you could do search on, and the pictures and all the things of all the encyclopedia, National Geographics. The National Geographic magazines were all on CD. Oh my goodness, this is like a big deal. Then we had Microsoft had the encyclopedia on Microsoft CD. That was the crappiest one ever. That had nothing. That was the biggest propaganda BS I ever saw. It was totally worthless. Well, then you had the actual printed one, but that, decades later, weren't as good as the earlier ones. So I'm going, it's like a 1984 Newspeak kind of crap. It's the memory hole stuff. So I'm wondering, what's behind that? What do you think, Max? I mean, is the winners get to write the history, but I mean, who are the winners? Who's doing this?
Well, yeah, it's a gradual dumbing down of everybody. You look at the dictionaries. The dictionaries are smaller now than what they were as well. You know, so how many words are they taking out of the language? You know, they're changing everything. You know, and the introduction of digital books and all this sort of stuff, I mean, this is essentially the Ministry of Truth. They get to rewrite everything now. And we don't even know that they've done it. They can just go back and change the date. And we don't know that it's done. Wikipedia, I mean, anyone can edit Wikipedia. You know, and with Google tailoring all the searches now, like I said, you go and search.
Yeah, CIA and NSA and FBI are part of the editing of Wikipedia now.
Yeah, exactly. So they're tailoring all your searches and they're filtering all your searches. It's essentially the Ministry of Truth, you know. But what you've got to do is you've got to understand that, you know, what we look at as a government system on Earth is not really a system of governments. It's a racket. It's a criminal gang. You know, if you can think of the world as a multinational, multi-generational criminal cabal masquerading as governments, they got all these people separated into different pens that they call countries. They give them national pride and all this stuff that makes them want to stay in their pen. They give them a little ticket so they can leave their pen now and then. They can only ever enter another pen for 3 months. Eventually, got to go back to their own. You know, and these governments face off against each other and create wars and all this stuff. You know, France and England are going to go to war with each other. It's just the two governments facing off against each other and saying, "Hey, let's scare the crap out of all of our people for a while." That's all it is, you know. And we have government, and all we need government to protect us for, and keep us safe. But what from? From the other governments, and they all do the same thing. It's racketeering. It's just one big racket. It's the most incredible scam. You know, you've got this group of people who've just got above the whole world and they've convinced everybody to go along with what they're doing. It's a big puppet show. They all play each other off against each other. And we all think they're wonderful and we think they look after us and we fawn at them and they get to steal half of everything we do, you know. So you steal all our wealth and steal everything from us and we think that they're actually keeping us safe. It's a scam. It's an absolute scam. You know, people are worried about Russia invading America. It's the same people. It's the same cabal. It's the same freak show. It doesn't matter. It's the same banks and governments and you know, criminal organizations that are puppeteering the whole thing. You know, if Iran and the United States were really enemies with each other, I mean, remember back in the days of Reagan, they went and bombed Gaddafi because he had a radio going in a bunker behind his bunker. He had a radio going which was broadcasting anti-Western propaganda. So they said, this is terrorist propaganda, and they went and bombed Gaddafi. You look at it, it was actually the Levant affair. It was actually Israel went in and set that up and got them to bomb Gaddafi. But hey, they bombed another country because he had a radio going in his bunker and they called that terrorist propaganda. So now we have America claiming its enemies with Iran, and Iran doesn't have a radio going out behind a bunker. It's got two TV stations, one in LA and one in New York. So and America has a CNN station in Tehran broadcasting anti-Iranian propaganda. You've got Press TV with a station in New York and LA broadcasting anti-Western propaganda. I mean, this isn't a radio behind a bunker. You know, these people aren't enemies. It's a puppet show. The whole thing's a puppet show. As soon as people figure that out, maybe we'll get somewhere.
Yeah, you got to have an enemy.
It's just a criminal gang. That's all it is, brother.
You know, one thing we did a chart because Tuesday we were doing a show. And it's all about, wow, CNN says this, and Rachel Maddow's gone down there, and we have CNN, blah, blah, blah. And you do all the totals, and it had for March of 19, at 1.3 million viewers a day on Fox. It was 1 million MSNBC, and then it went like Nickelodeon and History Channel and everything, and about the fifth. The sixth, seventh one down was CNN, was 600,000 or something. So it's like 3 million.
You know,
it was like under 3 million people, and I'm we care what they think, and there's 300 something million people out here, and we think what they say is matters, and or it's not even the truth. I mean, you know, it even matters. So I'm just, but it's on every airport and every McDonald's and every Walmart and every, you got, you know, the TV's on everywhere, and they're, you know, they're blast at you and they're counting them. I don't think the people are paying attention to them anymore, you think?
No, they're not really, I don't think. I mean, they're on everywhere. I went into the bank the other day and there was a television in the bank with all the politicians on there talking about stuff. I mean, I just looked at it like, wow, you know, what's this doing on here? But it's everywhere, like you say, there's screens everywhere. And that's another thing, you know, when they look back at this society, you know, everything we're doing in this society, it's all virtual. We're not doing anything real. You know, this will be, even the stuff we're writing, the articles we're writing, the blogs we're writing, the videos we're making, all this stuff, we're putting it all online. It's not real. It's not on film here. We're not writing things down in books anymore. We're writing them online, you know, and it's basically burning the information. It's giving them the opportunity to burn the information. All they've got to do is turn the power off. You know, when people look back at this
Heck,
time,
Amazon is digital book burning right now. They're just taking books off.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, what was the first reader? When the first digital reader was called Kindle, you know. And now, what do you use? Amazon Fire. You know, they tell you that they're burning the knowledge.
Oh, that's awesome! I didn't even think of that.
They tell you right up.
You know, I want to share.
We're kindling the fire. It's all becoming digital, so we're kindling the fire. But think about this. When people look back.
Kindling the fire. Yeah, we're going to put the Kindle, and then we're going to burn the books. That's awesome. Where are the memes? Yeah. I'm going to be looking for some memes. Go ahead.
they're burning the knowledge, and they're telling you that they're doing it. But when people look back at, like, everything we're doing now, even with activism and all the stuff we're doing, it's all virtual. All the videos that I'm making and putting them online, they're only virtual. They don't exist in the real world. When people look back at this time, and they want to know how this society fell into decline and collapse, because it's going to, they're not going to get any information. They're going to be looking around saying, gee, I want to find a written word. I want to find a diary. I want to find a book that somebody wrote which tells me what's going on. But they're going to find that there won't be hardly any, because it'll be the age of screens, where everybody did it all in the virtual world and nothing was left behind for the future generations to ever find. You know, that's kind of where we're being led. You know, all of our knowledge is being put into the virtual world. All of our focus is going into the virtual world. And so I'm not going to leave anything behind for those who come after. It's just, it's the massive burning of the knowledge. And like I said, they tell you that they're doing it with the names of all these apps and things, you know.
You know, they got this, you can't see it, but it's Amazon Kindle with the Fire logo and Amazon, and it's Amazon Kindle, and it has a book there burning. You know, no meme or anything. I'm going, I guess they're like burning books. You get to watch it on Kindle or something. And I'm going, wow, somebody's got to make this meme. I got Donna, you know, here, send this to Davi. I'm going to send this to you and send it to Davi. You know, we need a book burning meme. And all you got to do is do that. And I know he'll know what to do with it. This is, you have sparked something in me, Max. That was awesome. Kindle the fire. That is awesome. I'm going, okay. All right. We'll have some fun with that. You know, here, I'll send it to him. This is...
All the book burnings that we hear about in the past. I mean, even when I look at the technology that we're using, I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised if there are a series of cataclysms or a series of cullings that happen every couple of hundred years. And a lot of the technology that we're using now is technology that's always existed. We're not using anything new. They just created something like the Industrial Revolution and gave us the invention of the television and all this sort of stuff so we could see a progression of it so it would seem normal. But I wouldn't be surprised if this is the way they do it every time. They just burn the knowledge every time. I mean, even when I look at the underground bases and some of the stuff that's around the world, I wonder, when did we build this? Was it already there? Was it there from the last cycle? You know, where are all the children going that disappear all the time? Reports of up to 8 million children going missing every year. Where are they all going? You know, and when I look at reports from circa 1880 and stuff, how they repopulated the world with children, you think about that. If there was some sort of a cataclysm, there was something that happened that culled the population and they sent children out everywhere to repopulate the world, well, you teach them any history you want. You know, I look at stories such as the Pied Piper, Pied Piper of Hamelin. If you go to Hamelin in Germany, they'll tell you that that's based on a real event when their children got stolen and went missing. And you look at the story, you know, they were stolen by this guy and they were taken underground. You know, you think about the underground bases. Is that where the kids are going? Are they all going to underground bases and there's going to be some event and then they just repopulate the world and run through the cycle again? You know, I wonder all this sort of stuff. I mean, I can't prove, you know, civilizations built on top of other civilizations, on top of other civilizations. You can go and look at pictures of Seattle now where they're digging up building foundations to put in new buildings. And below ground is two or three stories of painted walls and windows. And there was a whole another section, two or three floors below ground that we didn't know was there. So what happens, you know? Do they just keep building on top of it? And how many civilizations are there below us? Now, some of the stuff that I'm finding here, like I mentioned, the hexagonal columns that my friend found up in the hills here behind his house. And, you know, some of the stuff we're finding around Sydney, the remnants of what appear to be old villages below ground and stuff like that. So, you know, how many civilizations have there been and how many layers of this are there and how often does it happen? You know, and if people knew this, and if people knew there were these cyclic things happening and history was not what we're being told, we wouldn't be doing this. We wouldn't be thinking that it's all about economics and working at these jobs. They wouldn't be able to keep us in line and keep us walking between the lines and doing what they want us to do if we had any chance to really think about this and any real knowledge of our past. So that's what I do. I mean, who's doing it is another question. That's certainly another question. But I think there's so many answers that we're not really, we're not looking in the right direction for anyway. There's a lot of questions I think we're afraid to ask. And like you say, that's what I do on the radio shows, is I basically just try to encourage people to think. I make very few statements on the radio shows. It's possibilities. I give people basically a random thought flow and it sort of goes anywhere. But I just try to encourage people to think about these things and ask questions and, you know, realize that there's a lot better things we could be doing with this this human experience than what we're doing now, you know?
Yeah, I just got a request to turn up the volume, so I'm doing that. Sorry, guys. The when you ask questions to people, I know that, you know, that it's a Socratic method, and it gets annoying after a while, somebody doing it, but it's the most effective way when you have this kind of information. You know, you're wanting to make sure that people, I mean, really, you know, check your premise. And then while the things are, mushroom clouds are happening, check your six. I mean, you look behind you, there's something else coming. And I'm feeling, you know, as I get older, I'm 58. I just turned 58. And I am way more wary of the news as being, not whether it's accurate or not, it's whether it, you know, is the real news. I mean, that's the news? That's what we're worried about? How? I mean, that's terrible, but how many people that, oh, it's 5 out of 300 million? We're worried about 5? We're worried about 20? When we got wholesale slaughter over here on this and the government doing that, and this is what you're worried about? I mean, you know, it's that kind of, it's emphasis. It's all about emphasis on whatever the heck it is that they want. And I'm wondering, is there a way out? And I've been working on just positive waves. I mean, we were talking about that with James today. You know, just yes, positive waves, man. It's don't be negative waves. Can we emphasize the positive and ignore the negative? Or do we got to highlight the negative so that we can know what the positive is? I mean, what do you think is the best way out of this?
Well, yeah, you can't fix a problem unless you're aware of a problem, and you need to shine a light on the darkness. You really do. You can't ignore it because it won't go away. You know, it kind of wants you to ignore it because there's so much stuff rolling out. I mean, recently I just saw a report, I think today, about they want to introduce mandatory vaccines in New York, and pretty soon you won't even be able to go into a supermarket in New York if you're not vaccinated. You know, you ignore that, it's not going to go away. Now you ignore 5G, it's not going to go away.
Yeah, let's talk about 5G. I know you've been covering that. We've covered, you know, that. We've covered the smart meters. We've covered the electromagnetic, you know, waves and around. We had our house tested and our kids, and we went through, you know, a lot of this stuff, and it's a legit concern. But the big thing to me was not so much whether, you know, the waves were high or low, and I how do I know it might make me smarter for all I know or whatever, but I just as soon not find out, and I want it gone. What has bothered me is the line by the electric company. Oh, no, it's got, we know, and we would never, and this, and kind of, we did, and it only this, and anything you check, they're lying the entire time. I just so sick. That's why the slogan on Freedom's Phoenix, uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. I'm so tired of being lied to all the time. Is there any truth on 5G that you can take from anybody about anything?
Not from anything I'm hearing from the mainstream. I mean, it's just been banned in Brussels. You can go and look that up. There's about 4 or 5 cities in Europe that have banned it. I mean, go and get information on that and show it to your local authorities and ask them why it's being banned over here if it's so safe. They're actually trying to put it in my neighborhood here, about 150 meters from where I live. They want to put in a pole. And there's a big meeting there on Saturday morning. I'm going to go down and have a speak at that. So getting sort of active with that in this community. A big fair uproar around. I mean, a lot of people want it. They think it's good. They think it's going to be great for faster downloads, you know. But there's so much wrong with it. I mean, there's so many health reasons why you don't want to have this anywhere in the area. And, yeah, so go and look at things like that, Brussels. Go and look up Brussels bans 5G, and you'll probably find references to other cities as well. And get that type of information and get it out to people in your neighborhood and go and ask the electrical companies to please explain why it's been banned in this country if it's so safe. You know, show me your specs that prove the claims that you're making that it's safe, because I'm finding all this stuff that's saying that you're lying, and I'd like you to give me proof of your claims, please. Now, that's the thing, you know, don't make claims. And that's what I do with this stuff as well. That's why on the radio show, I don't make claims. I just offer suggestions and ask questions. You know, if you ask them, yeah, they're claiming it's safe, and you're asking for proof of that claim because you've got evidence here which is suggesting that it isn't safe. That would be why all these other places are banned. So, you know, ask them to explain themselves. You're kind of back them into a corner and they've got nowhere to go. And, you know, if you can do it publicly enough and people see it, I mean, if they're having any meetings or anything like that in your area where they've come to just appease the people and explain to you why it's so safe, you go to a meeting like that and hold up the specs and show that, hey, they're banning it in these cities. Can you explain yourself, please? Then you really put them on a spot in front of a lot of people, and that's going to cause a lot of people to think.
You know what's really,
those sorts of things make a difference.
You know what's really interesting is when you start having solutions, or you go, you know, I'm going to have a Faraday net that I sleep under. Be like a mosquito net, but it protects me from electromagnetic whatever. You know what? I'm going to put a shield on, you know, kind of a shield of carbon nanotube impregnated mesh of whatever my house between me and that 5G emitter kind of, you're crazy. You're not allowed to do it. It's when they go after people that are offering solutions, they go, nope, not allowed to offer the solution. Nope, you're not allowed to talk about a solution. Nope, you're not allowed to. It's like you have only approved propaganda speech that is allowed. And I can feel it. And it's this privacy and this publicity thing. I give you an example. Those don't want you to be private. They want to be able to read any and everything. They want the clipper chip. They want your faxes. They want the print. They want whatever you're saying, you're talking about. You got encryption that puts you on the list. Oh, what are you being secret about? Then you're going, I don't care about being secret. You know, like me, I'm whatever. I put everything public. I'm out, any and our conversation goes up, we're live streaming, we put it out on the video, we got the MP3, it's permanent, we're out there. Hell no, you're not allowed to do that either. Max talked about Christchurch, boom, you're done. And I'm going, then what the hell is it? It's approved propaganda. It's what they say talk about.
Absolutely it is, and it's the same with this this 5G thing. I mean, it's approved propaganda. They don't want you talking about it. I mean, very much with Christchurch as well, because, and like you say, it's the solutions. I mean, putting Faraday cages and stuff on your houses, this is a great idea.
And a tinfoil hat! Really, we're going to actually have our tinfoil hats, Max!
Yeah, well, you probably need it, but the problem is that you've got to go outside sometimes. You've got to go outside, though, is the thing.
With my tinfoil hat!
Protect you, but that's the thing. But coming back to Christchurch for a second, with what I've been saying about Christchurch, it isn't the fact that I'm not supporting the claim of fakery in Christchurch. All I'm doing is looking at the video and seeing what the evidence shows me. And what I've been actually saying about Christchurch is that what the video has shown me is that there are four majorly important points that are revealed by this video, which do not require speculation, do not require conjecture, are not open for debate at all. And these four points are that, one, there was a man in red who was there when he arrived that ushered him in the driveway. Two, that man in red can be also seen later when he shoots the last woman standing by the wall watching him. Three, he went outside three times to shoot people who were escaping, and they were all out of his line of sight. Someone had to be in an earpiece to let him know those people were escaping. And four, there was a car parked at the entrance of the mosque that was there while most of the shooting happened inside, that left halfway through the proceedings while he was standing outside shooting someone, and he was in full view of that car and the car was in full view of him. So this shows that the New Zealand government is lying. It wasn't a lone gunman, and that they're removing the guns from the people under false pretenses. Now, I've been trying to present this to people as four clear facts that are not open for debate at all. And people are telling me, like I did a debate with James Fetzer the other day, he told me these are insignificant facts and I'm creating noise around all of his rabid speculation of fake and false victims and fake blood and toy guns and all the stuff that he's saying, which is all noise around these four incredibly clear facts, which if the people can get some focus on these facts, I mean, the shooter's video itself reveals that the government is telling you barefaced lies, and so is the media. And we could launch a full-blown investigation into them.
You know, in your thing, you talked about the only information that I really got at most detailed to anything, even though I'm a news publisher, you know, talk show host, activist, all this, everything. I was back in Maine when it happened, and I'm going, you know, yeah, we'll put up the story that it happened, and we had, I didn't look into it, don't care. You know, I mean, it's not that it wasn't tragic. It's not that it doesn't deserve being covered. It was New Zealand. It was far away, and it was just so convenient, you know. And I just didn't feel like adding to it. So your video or podcast was the only real discussion about it at all, and it seemed, you know, logical. Cool reason. I asked Corbett today, I go, have you seen the video? No. Some other friends, have you seen it? No. Did you look? No, not really. Because we went through so many of these. And I've been, you know, around at Ruby Ridge and Waco and Oklahoma City and 9/11. And, you know, it goes on and on and on, all the shootings and everything. After a while, you see a pattern. I get it. I so freaking get it. You're using this to manipulate and control us into whatever. But in your, you talked about there was another location, and what they, and I heard this from some other, somewhere else before, is that there was probably some lives saved by somebody with a gun that chased them off or did something, and they sure as hell don't want that coming out. So I'm just, tell us about that a little bit.
I've heard some mixed reports of what actually happened. I mean, there's reports of one guy had a gun and he chased them off, but I think what actually happened was that either the shooter dropped a gun and someone picked it up and chased him off with it, or someone wrestled a gun off him and chased him off with it. But either way, I mean, it was a man with a gun. Apparently, he picked up a cash machine or something and was shielding himself from the shots, and grabbed a gun and then chased the attacker off. And the guy got into a car, which apparently had people in it, and they drove away. But apparently there was two shooters at that mosque as well. I mean, everybody that you talk to says there were multiple shooters. The official story is simply not true.
We went through,
like I said, there's evidence on the video to prove that.
We went through a lot of coverage on the Las Vegas shooting. You know, that was here. You remember the Las Vegas, big Pollock, you know, all that kind of stuff. And because we've had a newspaper editor that, you know, some of our common friends know, Vince Aprinowitz up there is Las Vegas Review Journal editor that I met, you know, when he was a reporter down here in Arizona, become good friends. And, you know, and he, of course, had the inside scoop on how the politics work in the sheriff's department, how the sheriff's department in Las Vegas is kind of the same police department. And you have the revolving door between the casinos and the FBI and the government and the law, it's all part of one big thing, and stuff happens, and they're going to control, and it's for money of, you know, get over it, and the truth doesn't matter. As we went through that, it was so bald-faced lies on so many levels and made absolutely sure nobody's going to see what's happening. There was all of this video done by people with their phones that was collected by law enforcement, gone, deleted, purged, people that really were coming out dead. I mean, it's just amazing. Well, do I think something like that's going to happen with Christ Church? Yeah. The story is going to be the cover-up. The story is going to be the censorship. The story is taking down Max Egan for even talking about it. That's the story. So everybody's like, well, don't you care? Don't you want to see the video? And I'm going, no, not really. I'm more concerned about what happened to Max. Yeah, we're getting a choppy signal. Can you hear me, Max?
You still there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah, it's see, man, you know, the man.
Yeah, I can hear you now, but you've locked up.
Yeah, Ernie's talking to Max. We're not allowed, you know.
They don't like us talking about this sort of stuff.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of censorship. A lot of censorship coming from this. There really is a massive amount of censorship, and we've just seen the beginning of it. We've had so many websites blocked here in Australia now, like BitChute and all sorts of decentralized platforms.
See, that's amazing. So you're saying BitChute, the entire page is done?
They're filtering all everybody's search results.
So tell me about BitChute. How do they even do that? How do they?
Yeah, we can't access it here. You've got to get a VPN to access BitChute. They just block the IP, and you can't get it. You've got to use a VPN to access it.
You know, it's
a lot of sites. A lot of the decentralized sites are being blocked in Australia. They just don't want us accessing them. And massive censorship. It's gonna roll out everywhere. You're gonna feel it in the United States as well. Mandatory IDs from this. They've also, now they're talking about, are they going to set up a new system where you've actually got to supply ID before you can stream on Facebook? Because, of course, there was just a mass murder on Facebook. So it brings it all in. It creates the platform for all this stuff. You can see all the dominoes being put in place. Now, like I said, they'll be able to remove people from the truth movement simply if you're getting random donations from people. All you got to do is set up these people as some sort of an extremist. They've got travel restrictions happening through what they've done with David Icke and now Martin Selman. They've attached that to donations. So they've got the whole fake news.
Wow, Max, come on, man. Is this sustainable? I mean, is this – when they start doing this kind of – I don't remember any regime holding up that starts this kind of crap for any amount of real time.
Well, look at what they're doing in China now with social crediting, social credit points. Yeah. They've got facial recognition glasses in China now as well. They can pick you out of a crowd. If you're down on social credit points, you've got to have at least a score of 25 to be able to buy a train ticket in China, this sort of stuff. So.
Okay, wait. I understand this and I've heard about it, but you got the actual scorecard? You know what your point system is and stuff? You got that down?
Yeah. If you get down below 25 points, you can't secure a train ticket.
Well, what do you start off at? Do you get like 100 points for the day or life or what?
I think it's 50, something like that. But once you lose your points, it's very, very difficult to get them back. Once you're deemed untrustworthy, you're always untrustworthy. And if you get too low on your social credit points, you can't even rent a house. So, I mean, this is all they've got to do is start limiting the social credit points of dissenters and activists. And they basically squeeze us out of public transport, squeeze us out of rentals, and become just an undesirable, become a person of interest.
Think about this, Max. We have people that they're going, well, should we score people by their thoughts? Well, yeah, I guess that's what the social score is. Should we do it by their gender or by their sexual preference or by some other identity, politics, reason, or whatever? But, man, we can, get them for dissent. We get them for disagreeing. We get them for not now towing the party line. Any other reason you would segregate people off into the back of the bus, not acceptable. But if you think differently, woo, we're going to get some. I'm wondering, where the hell does that come from, Max?
Well, you look at it, like I said, with when you look at Brenton Tarrant's manifesto, which, like I said, is like a truth movement ideology peppered with extremist rhetoric, you look at what they've just done with Martin Selman, who is seen as getting donations from this guy, so obviously someone who influenced him. So we get portrayed, simply because we're speaking out against the government, we get portrayed as people who are dangerous, who are obviously influencing people like Brenton Tarrant to go and carry out these crimes. So, the public will be quite happy with us being just ostracized and pushed out of the picture, because they'll be taught to fear us. That's the way it's going. Now, we're being seen as the people who influence this type of activity. You've got to combine it in with what we saw with Pizzagate when the pizza store was attacked. I put out on a radio show, I said, Pizzagate, watch the misdirection. And I was telling people, don't focus on the pizza store. It's not about the pizza store. It's about Podesta's emails. If you put focus on the pizza store, it's going to turn pear-shaped and it's going to backfire on everybody. And then the next day, they have one of their operatives go in there and shoot the lock and all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like something out of a movie, as if you're going to get into a room by shooting the lock, No one would have done that. So it was all set up for the media. But just to vilify us and to create the fake news meme, which is now going to come into full fruition, with Christchurch. Now, because here we are influencing these people like Brenton Tarrant to go and carry out these crimes, and then look how we behave when he actually goes and carries it out. We call it all fake and crisis actors, and we re-traumatize all the victims, and we spread fake news, and you're going to have to censor the internet. You're going to have to get this so-called independent media out of the picture, because it's all fake news. And not only is it fake news, but they're influencing people to carry out terrorist activity. And combine all this for the social testing in China now, the facial recognition glasses that the police are wearing in China now. Pick you out of a crowd, not a problem. So, this is where it's all going. You tie this in with what I've just said is happening in New York. They want to introduce mandatory vaccines in New York State, And this is going to come everywhere. Soon you'll need a vaccine to drop your children off at school. You'll need a vaccine to get into a supermarket. You're going to need a vaccine for everything. And with 5G, I mean, they can even put out a frequency to make everybody a little bit sick and tell us it's this mystery pandemic that we've been expecting for so long.
Yeah, that's where my concern is. Our first hour today was on the vaccine thing. And I'm really interested in when this happens. It's a campaign ad for Hillary Clinton, and I get kind of, you know, sexually aroused, and I'm going, yeah, she's kind of hot. I think I'm going to go register and vote for her because, no, it's 5G. I mean, you know, there's going to be something that they're just in the electromagnetic. Then we have, what was it? Truth Media Truth. There's a channel that I like, and they have a lot of good information.
TruthStream Media.
TruthStream, yeah, the Dykes, yeah. Melissa and what's her name? Dykes. Thank you. And they, it was a couple weeks ago, she found a patent that was very odd. It was 2006, I think it was, that we're changing emotions using electromagnetic frequencies off of televisions. You know, got the patent. I mean, you know, FYI. So there's so much of this stuff. It's like you got to be a conspiracy theorist to not believe it.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you watch those movies sometimes, you can watch some old movie and there's some scene at the end and you just feel like crying, you know, and you're going, hang on, it's a movie and I'm not even that emotionally aroused by it. Why do I feel like crying at the end of the movie? It's because of what's the frequency that they put in there to make you do that. And this is what they can do with 5G. Just go look at the DARPA patents of what they can do to control emotions and all sorts of stuff with 5G. It's incredible. But they could put out a frequency to just make everybody feel sick and they could tell you it's a mystery illness and we all need a vaccine for it. And the vaccines will have the microchips in them and the vaccines will get what they want. You know? And it'll get to the point where if you don't get a vaccine, you'll be sent as a carrier and you'll be confined to your house. You won't be able to even go into a supermarket or do anything if you don't get the vaccine.
Oh, you know what? I can feel it already. I like wearing a lot of like fedora hats. I mean, just regular hat because I'm freaking freckle-faced and it's Arizona. Get over it. It's hot, man. You know, and then it's protect me from the sun. So I'm sure there's a lot of hot places in Australia. So when I put on the hat, it could have a copper mesh graphene 5G protect me from Faraday something. I'm going, man, I could have got me a business, you know? You know, one thing.
It won't just be your head, though, brother, because they can put the frequency, it affect the water in your body.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I'm here.
Just grab malaise over your whole body. It isn't just the matter of them influencing your emotions and stuff. It's the other stuff they can do with this. I mean, it's going to affect us on so many levels. And like I said, I highly recommend you start looking at what they're doing in Brussels.
I haven't pulled up.
With things like the power movement and just use that as ammunition to be able to take on your own community. And say, well, look at this. You know, look what they're doing.
Well, I'll tell you, Max, where we're going at that, we've done a lot of stuff on the smart meters. We've been talking about 5G, but it all is incorporated and vectoring towards this one thing. Here in Arizona, what's his name? Crow, I think. Michael Crow is the head of Arizona State University here. He's the highest paid head of a university freaking on the planet or something. It's some ridiculous amount. He's part of the CIA, NQTEL investment of they're doing whatever and proud of it. I mean, none of this stuff is a secret. What they did is about 6 months ago, they came out with this full campaign of academia, business, and policy leaders, which means legislators, city councilmen, and so on. So this three-legged stool to promote this smart city thing that they started at Arizona State University, and as bad as it was with everything's global warming, you get a grant to study the red squirrel because of global warming, you get this, a global warming, we're going to do whatever global warming. Now it's smart city. So this sustainable development, global warming, smart city, it's all focused on smart city. Here in the valley in the west side of Phoenix out here, there's in the desert area, there's hundreds of acres that Bill Gates has bought. They want to make a smart city. Well, then you have, they're going to be promoting this and mandates and all the stuff they have and everything from Arizona State University, Arizona, Phoenix here. We got a bunch of tech. They got Intel and the man and everybody else in there and the policymakers, legislators and the corrupt whatever. And they make it seem like it's three separate things overlapping, coming together. It's the same people. They're using the three stools to support this thing. Here we go. Beginning of April, that also happens to live here, a good friend and a friend of the show a lot is Patrick Wood from Technocracy.News that wrote the book Technocracy Rising. You know, the, you know, Technocrats over Washington. What was it? The Trilateralist over Washington. So all of that. He and I are working. We give a presentation beginning of May at a club here that we're out in everything that's going on. And we're going, look, this is what they're... In fact, in the policy, what they did is they had a whole page on funding for small municipalities that don't have the money to do it. Got a blueprint for you. Going to help you out. You can charge for this and a fee for that. They had this whole long PDF that you can print out and pull up that shows you how we're going to rip and indent your new tax slaves that we got in your community. Don't worry about it. And I'm going, holy crap. 5G, this, all that, Internet of Things, it's all part of the same thing. And they see us as livestock. And fortunately, it's always freaking Arizona that I can go neon flashing, here it is.
Yeah.
I get no pleasure in saying
that. That's the thing. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's livestock, and it's ultimate surveillance is what it is, ultimate surveillance. And, you know, also with the concept of active denial, the capabilities of active denial, you can disable people, track everything they do, you know, affect their emotions, affect their thoughts. I mean, everything you can think of. Like I said, you just got to look at the DARPA military patents. Any military application that is electromagnetic warfare that you can think of uses the 5G carrier wave. So all this is being put into place as a blanket over our communities. You know, we think it's all for faster downloads, but there's all this underlying stuff they can do with it. And, you know, you look at what the capabilities of this are, you really got to ask yourself, do you trust the government enough to have something like this and put it in place over your community? It's going to be shocking, really. I mean, the capabilities of it. And you'll never know from that point whether your thoughts are being monitored, whether your thoughts are even your own from that point. I mean,
you know, this is one point right here, Max, that I've made a big deal out of. I've always been very confident that the bad guys are never going to win, because in the end, freedom always wins. There's human nature; they can't do it. They would have to change us. And I'm going,
what if they?
Yeah, what if they put fluoride in the water? What if they messed with the air? What if they messed with our food? What if they had electromagnetic whatever? What if they changed us to either demand or just allow or be incapable to defend against this kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, there's that as well. What if they just wiped our memories? What if they just wiped our memories so we didn't remember much past last week or so? You know, I mean, it wouldn't be hard for them to do, brother. That's the thing. The potential for this. I mean, we look at this and we think about how did they replace history and how did they do all this stuff. Maybe they rolled out a grid like this before and we just all woke up one morning and wondered where we were. It wouldn't be that hard to do.
They wouldn't do that, Max. That'd be wrong.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, they wouldn't do anything wrong, would they? Of course not. You know, how could I be so terrible to think that of them? You know, but really, I mean, the possibilities are endless what they could do with this. You know, we start thinking about things like the Mandela effect. Some people have asked you, what is this, changing timelines and stuff? And I said to them, what if it's a beta test? What if it's a beta test for putting out a frequency through computer monitors and seeing who gets it, who picks it up, whose memory changes?
For the audience that doesn't know, Taryn Lupo, a good friend, went for like a year on this effect. The Mandela effect is like you think for sure for something that you remember, and then it turns out it wasn't like you go, man, why did I think that? Why did you? And the Mandela effect was a lot of people thought that Mandela was alive or dead or something, and it was the opposite. And it was just so that's where it came from, right? You know, the Mandela effect is what thought, you know, what happened to Mandela, and then
yeah, it's like people lines in movies changing. Yeah, lines in movies changing and names on albums and all sorts of stuff changing from what we remember it being, you know. And I look at that and I think, was that a beta test? And did they crank CERN up? And did they put out a frequency and just see who got it and who didn't, you know? Was that a beta test for what they plan to do with 5G, memory replacement? They could just replace our memories and suddenly everything's roses and we don't remember anything that happened. We don't remember.
Socialism works!
Yeah, so we might, yeah, they could, yeah, the capabilities are limitless of what they can really do with this. I mean, we're electromagnetic beings. Everything we experience is electromagnetic. All of our thoughts are electromagnetic. It's just all electromagnetism. We're more an electrical being than anything else. You know, we want to start talking about the soul or whatever, but you know, what this experience is in this vessel, it's all electrical impulses, how it all works. So, you know, if you can think of the frequency, your consciousness is a frequency. You know, all they've got to do is find that frequency and they can get in there and do stuff with it. I mean, they can already replace visions. They can intercept your neural nerves. They can intercept your hearing. They can intercept your vision. They can give you visions. They can give you, put voices in your head, all sorts of stuff. This is well known, mainstream, you know. So,
you know,
can
I was
affect and replace our memories completely. Is that what the Mandela effect really was? Was it a beta test for what they're about to run with 5G?
Nothing surprises me anymore, Max. I mean, I give you this story. There was I was at a radio station here in Phoenix. And so I had it tuned on my radio, and it's some Saturday. We did Monday through Friday. Well, one Saturday, Donna and I, my wife, we were traveling down the highway, and I had the station on. Well, it was a couple of young guys. They weren't real young. They were in their 20s, you know, maybe 30s. And they were talking about video game. It's a Saturday weekend show. They're going on about video games and video games and video games. Talk about the new interface and the coming virtual reality and all that kind of stuff. So I go, you know, I got a question for them. Before we get out of range here, we're heading to L.A., and I call it, oh, it's Ernest Hancock here. Yeah, yeah, what's up? And I go, if you could get a Matrix plug-in in the back to play a better video, yeah, hell yeah, plug us in. Yeah, we already know where you're going. Sign us up. Yeehaw, we want to get some. And I'm going, holy crap, there wasn't even any resistance at all. I mean, if it's convenient, if it gives them more tactile censorship speed of I can get faster and more robo-babes, I mean, they're all in. So I'm going, it's scary out there.
It is. It is. It's the dehumanization, of everybody is where we're going. And to get people to want to do this, you know, limit their potential in the real world and then give them unlimited potential in the virtual world. And it makes the virtual world very attractive to them. So, yeah, they're being led into it. And a lot of people are embracing it quite willingly, unfortunately.
You know, when you say, this is where we're going, this is where we're going. You know, I agree. I understand that's definitely where they want to go. You know, I'm wondering, what's the pushback? What's the resistance? What is there going to be an island of, leave me aloneist with a bunch of plasma cannons and ion satellite that I want to kick your ass and we're over here on the island to bite me? I mean, you know, it's not going to be everybody's going to comply. I don't know. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. You know, if enough people see it in their face, then perhaps they will stand up and lead us in a better direction. But if people don't and aren't prepared to stand up, if they're going to remain in fear, then we'll just continue to be led. You know, a lot of people.
But why does it have to be everybody? I don't have to lead everybody. I'm not going to go to Australia and save you. That's your problem, man. Mac's going to save Australia. I'll take care of my household. I mean, you know, I how many people do I got to save? See, the only reason that I feel that I got to advocate freedom for everybody, because it's the only way that I have the best chance of being free myself. But I don't have any responsibility to free somebody else that doesn't even want to be freed, you know? So I'm just like, I advocate, but at some point there's going to be, hey, you guys want to, okay, let's go over here on our space station pirate ship of seasteading of not here. I mean, you know, or something. I'm just, I can't save everybody. So I do what I can now, but at some point, man, it's not my responsibility. I'm over here and wait for them to die off or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, me too. I mean, I do what I can. I just offer a perspective to people in the hope that they'll start taking action to improve their own lives, because it's the same as you. I mean, I can't be free until everybody's free, and I want to be free. Yeah, I can be free to figure what's going on. So, I mean, we'll get to a certain point, people start to push back. You know, I just hope it's in time, you know. And, I don't think the human experience is going to be held down. No matter what they try to do to us, we'll get through it. Even if the whole thing collapses in a whole huge ball of flame, we'll still get through it. Yeah, there'll still be remnants of us that'll get through, and we'll create a new.
You know, here's one thing that we were focusing on experience. That you would have a good impact on, you know, your thought. When we did a Narcozona thing in Sedona, which is already, Sedona is kind of cool anyway, you know, you kind of get that, you know, free, open mind kind of thing, and it might even be vortex of whatever the heck, but I mean, I like going up there. Jeff Berwick spoke, Luke Radowski was there, Larkin Rose, myself, a bunch of other influencers in the space, and we were there, and the vibe was so much different than even in Acapulco or anybody where else I'd been. It was certainly anarchist, but it was way more spiritual. It was more like, yeah, I don't think we're going to fix them. I mean, we just got to, you know, we take care of it. It's us. We're the problem. We're the ones putting up with this, paying attention to it, not thinking positively, not having solutions, worried about what they're going to, blah, blah, blah. The darkness has invaded us, and we got to stop it. So this positive attitude, this spiritual aspect, this other plane of existence of where we can put our minds in the most productive space to have the biggest weapon against they, them, those that won't leave us alone. Describe that for us, what you think that might be.
Well, it's in a state of love and appreciation and acceptance. I mean, you know, it's our respect for authority that is a fiction, essentially. It's our need to, or our willingness to step outside of our moral compass to comply with legislation that causes us to do that all the time. You know, and we're too scared to be ourselves. We're too scared to really realize the power of ourselves and respect ourselves enough to respect the people around us and simply stand up and call things for what they are. You know, we don't realize that government officials are just people in suits. They're not anybody who has any authority over us. And we never question them. We just say, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. You know, or we never question why they're asked to do things. I mean, even when you look at the system, if you look at the legalities of the system, you know, we created a legal system to prevent the causation of harm and to provide remedy when harm is caused. And yet we've got politicians who are now claiming... Well, yeah, I mean, but now we've got politicians who are claiming to be able to use this legal system to instigate the causation of harm against us. Yeah, it's just inevitable, but we don't call it. We don't ever really see it that way. And we don't have the support of the people around us to ever be able to stand up, you know, because we don't respect ourselves enough to respect them. You know, to say the answer is love and respect, I mean, it sounds a little New Age and lame, but really it is.
You know,
if you love yourself, then love for other people by default, you know, and then you stand up against this. You do that out of love, not even out of anger. You know, just now, what is love? It's not fear. It's the opposite of fear. You know, so that's what it's important to understand what it really means. You don't be in fear of expressing what is right.
You know, define this when you say, you know, you have to have love for yourself in order to insist that you're treated respectfully and you know, with. You have a relation. Your relationships don't work if you don't have a healthy respect for yourself, a love for yourself, how you deal with governments or whatever. How would you define that? You know, love yourself. You hear that a lot. You see it in movies. How would you define that? What I'm 13 years old and you're going, love myself. What are you talking? Do I need a magazine? I mean, what are you talking about? You know. Help me out here. Describe that.
Well. It's realizing the beauty and the perfection of yourself. I mean, you're here for a reason and you're supposed to be exactly the way you are. You know, we're taught that we have all these shortcomings, that we have these milestones we need to live up to, these markers that society provides us. But you come here and you're perfect at being you, and that's what you came to be here. It's what you came to do, obviously, because you exist. You know, so it's defining the perfection of yourself and realizing that it's okay to have whatever it is that you think may be flaws and stuff about you. It doesn't matter. You know, what I say at the end of every radio show is in Lakesh, I am another yourself. If you can think of consciousness and think of reality as being a single consciousness, just one of us here, with 7 billion different aspects to that personality. And this is just a vessel with a strand of DNA in it that is tuned to a particular frequency that I download and experience as Max, that you download and experience as you. You know, so it's all really the same thing. And once you can really appreciate that and realize it's about the experience, it's about the journey. You know, it's incredible. This place is incredible. We live in a paradise. And what are we doing with it? You know? I mean, to me, that's what it is. It's knowing what you are. And it's interesting with English, because we don't even really have the words in English to be able to explain true spiritual concepts to people. I find that incredibly interesting. You look at stories such as 1984, when they took all the words out of the language which pertained to rebellion or dissent or anything like that. So people knew there was something wrong, but they didn't know how to express it. Look at English, and I wonder, this has already happened. Yeah, the book 1984 wasn't talking about something in the future. It was talking about something that's already happened.
So you're thinking the limitation on the vocabulary of the nuances of spirituality in a lot of different ways. That was, you know, the new space memory hole they had to go through before.
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely. I think that's what the Shakespearean Revolution was about. An example I use of this is the term Dharma. Do you understand the concept of Dharma, the word Dharma?
I've heard the word before. It may have been from your show or something, but I'm not familiar. But go ahead.
Dharma is a spiritual concept. It's like karma. You understand what karma is. Mm-hmm. You've got to be explained to understand. Well, Dharma is when you walk your path of Dharma, all the wheels of the universe will mesh, you know, and your path will be laid out for you, and everything will just work. And the way you walk your path of Dharma is you do the right thing, in the right way, at the right time, for the right reason. And you've got to ask, well, what is right? How do you know what is right? Well, you know, if you think of the one law of creation being unconditional love and service to creation, which is not service to others at the expense of yourself, but it's not service to yourself at the expense of others. It's not service to nature and the earth at the expense of people, not service to people at the expense of nature and the earth. It's finding that balance. You find your path of Dharma. You know, you could write a whole thesis to explain what Dharma is to someone. But if I'm speaking Hindi, I just have to say Dharma. And they understand it in all of its nuances, in all of its aspects. We don't have words like that in English. You know, it's even the word love. You know, love. How do you explain the love you have for a woman as opposed to the love you have for a dog, for a movie, for a packet of potato chips, for a walk in the park, for a tree?
Yeah, go to
for
Greece.
Going surfing. All different types of love. We just have the word love. Yeah, exactly. If you speak languages like Greek or Italian or French, you'll find that it's the way it's structured in the sentence. And there are all sorts of ways of expressing it. In Hungarian, there are 48 letters in Hungarian. I think in Hungarian and Finnish, I think there's something like 50 different ways to say snow, because there's 50 different types of snow. And in Hungarian, you can express every single nuance of human emotion in words that simply don't exist in English, because there's 48 letters in the alphabet.
You know, we're so given the impression that English is a complete language that has so many ways to express and all that kind of stuff. But the more you think about it, I'm always looking at Latin or Greek or some other things to give the definition, when, especially if it's anything religious. They're going back to the original translations and words to give a much more expanded meaning for a lot of the words that King James did, let's say. And I'm going, you know, I always wondered, even in Bible study or something, I'm going, why don't we have why isn't there another word for that? You know, and so I understand what you're saying, and you're thinking that this wiping of language at least has happened once before, maybe more?
Oh, yeah, at least once. And I think it's removed. This is why we find it so hard. We know all this stuff inside that we have no way of expressing. You know, and we try to, and we have these vast, long, huge conversations that should be able to be said in a couple of words, but we can't, and we can't even really grasp on what it is we're trying to say. Now, some of the feelings that I have inside, I know exactly how I feel and what I want to say, but the words simply don't exist for me to be able to express it properly. You know, and again, I mean, you look at some of these languages, and they are very flamboyant and very, you know, flowery and very descriptive type of languages. We don't have that in English. It's very, very mechanical. It's the language of commerce. It's the language of slavery. It's the language of legalese, you know. We don't even understand our language. We don't even comprehend our language. You know, even like the word understand, people talk about in legalese, means to stand under. It's like when someone comes to a police officer comes to me and says, you've got to abide by the laws of the state of New South Wales. I say, well, what is the state of New South Wales? Well, that's the state that you're in. I'll say, well, hang on, I'm kind of in a state of confusion for you claiming I'm in a state of New South Wales. What is the state of New South Wales? We don't understand the language that we talk. We don't. What is the state of Arizona? You're in the state of Arizona at the moment. That means you're under the laws of Arizona because you're under the illusion that you're in a state of Arizona. You're in a state of their jurisdiction. It's a mental state. It's a mental attitude. It's a fiction. It's a meme. It's an idea. Try to get this into people's heads. We don't even understand the language that we speak. We don't know what we're even saying.
And it's all perceived, because why I'm smiling is when you say a state of Arizona, I've always had that mean it's a pioneer spirit of peace of him in a state of Arizona, and people can suck it, you know, and it has nothing to do with government. But I understand what you mean, but that's the point. It's a perception by individuals.
That's
so nuanced and different, and yeah. And they're stripping it from us, and I get the impression what's happening is that you're not allowed to be private with your speech. You're not allowed to be public with it and, you know, it stay there forever. But you are allowed to have whatever the government approves of your propaganda at that moment, and that could change. And these thoughts was not what America was. That's why my show is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, because the Declaration of Independence was so descriptive for me. It really had, it was a beautiful document. And there was a part in there that says, the purpose of government is to defend individual rights. If it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish. And I go, done. We're done. I go, need you say more? I mean, the whole reason you do this government thing is on the promise of you're going to protect me from enemies, foreign and domestic. You're going to protect my rights. You're going to give me individual sovereignty over. You're going to. And if you're not doing that, well, I break with thee, and I throw dog poop on your shoes, okay? I mean, you know, whatever it is that I got to do. And that is like, nah, you're not allowed. We just decided. And I go, well, whatever you decided that you couldn't do that, it wasn't based on the foundation of and the spirit of how you got. So how the hell did you get there? Well, because you let us, dummy. I mean, I can see it coming. So I'm really glad you spent this time with me. Do you got to go? I mean, you know, we've already gone an hour and 15 minutes.
But I better get going and do some stuff.
Well, I wanted to, before we finished it, and I wanted to get your comment on this, because we started going down this road and I pulled it up, and I wanted to get this in. There is, it had a big impact on me. Star Trek started in 66, 67, 68, around in there. It went for a few years. And there was an episode in there where Kirk is on trial. He has a lawyer, and he's got all these books. And they're going, books? What the hell, man? I thought you were a real lawyer, man. You got books. And when you were talking about they're going to homogenize, and I think that this is 40-something years ago, and he made such a good point about this. I want to get it into the record here and show the people. Let's watch this. It's only a minute and 20 seconds. Yeah, let me pull this up. Oh, I don't have it plugged in. That's still here. We go.
Yes. What is all this?
I figured we'd be spending some time together, so I moved in.
I hope I'm not crowding you.
What's the matter? Don't you like folks?
Oh, I like them fine. But a computer takes less space.
A computer, huh? I got one of these in my office. Contains all the precedents. A synthesis of all the great legal decisions written throughout time. I never use it.
Why not?
I've got my own system. Books, young man. Books, thousands of them. If time wasn't so important, I'd show you something. My library. Thousands of books.
What would be the point?
This is where the law is. Not in that homogenized, pasteurized, synthesized. Do you want to know the law? The ancient concepts in their own language? Learn the intent of the men who wrote them? From Moses to the tribunal of Alpha 3? Books.
You have to be either an obsessive crackpot who's escaped from his keeper or Samuel T. Cogley, attorney at law.
You're right on both counts. Need a lawyer?
I'm afraid so.
That was so prominent to be in a sci-fi, to have an impact on a little kid that was looking forward to little, you know, computer disc cards, and we got Kindles running around and tablets, and we get everything on from an electronic, and we just ask and it tells us. For me, looking in forward to that, and as a young kid, having that scene played out, that, man, when they do this, they're going to pasteurize and homogenize this information. It's not going to be the same. You know, you need a book from the original concept of the men that wrote them and their intent and all this other stuff. It's already starting to go away. And I'm just, before we go, where do we find truth? Is it going to be citizen journalists like Max Egan talking up there and they're going to purge you? You see my point?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I mean, and like I said, even with the stuff that I've done, I mean, it's virtual. It's in the virtual world. It's very easy to purge. Very easy to just purge 11 years of my work, just close down a YouTube channel and it's gone. Now, I mean, I've still got a lot of it backed up here. But you know, a lot of it's in the virtual world. I mean, I don't know where we find the truth in here. You find it in your heart. You'll find, you'll know the truth. You'll feel it. You feel it when someone speaks it and when you come across it, you feel it. And that's the best I can recommend to people. You know, and like I said with my shows, man, I don't offer you the truth. I just encourage you to think. You know, I give you my perspective on things. Sometimes I get it wrong. You know, hopefully I get it right, but hopefully it empowers people because, like I said, I need you to be free. I need everybody to be free. And that's what it's really all about. I'm just encouraging people to think and hoping to help people find their own truth in all this. And that's really the only place I can recommend is art, because it's where you'll feel what is and what is. You know, I mean, ultimately, if you want the truth, I mean, we're living in a people farm. We're living in a system of human slavery because of the idea to go along with this authority, which is a completely mistaken belief. So, you know, now, like Black and Rose says, the most dangerous super.
Yeah, we've communicated this last week on this, and I just wanted to let you know that right now we're busy with getting all of Luke Radowski's YouTubes off, and we're pulling that. We've already platformed James Corbett and Freedom's Phoenix and Pirates Without Borders and Declare Your Independence, and now we've finished up with James Corbett. Now we're getting into pulling all the YouTubes down for Luke, because he had that kind of the same situation. He goes, yeah, my backup channel has 30,000 subscribers now. His other one had like hundreds of thousands, some ridiculous number. And he goes, well, up to 30,000, I get more hits and more revenue from that now. And I do, and I'm going, really? What's it on? What's your backup channel, YouTube? And I'm going, you're killing me. And you're in the same situation. Your backup is your old YouTube. I'm going, oh, hell no. So with your permission, we're going to strip, you know, all of your, as soon as we can get to it, pull all of your video content off and put it on the forever IPFS internet of we have on our computers that we're syncing up around the world, pulling in our favorite people so it never goes away. I'm sick that this is happening to other people. And we saw this.
Absolutely, bro. If you want, I could I could purchase a couple of USB sticks. I can send you the whole lot in high definition on USB sticks.
Boom! You know, I tell you, you know, if we, what if I sent you the memory in a Raspberry Pi that you just, it's plug and play. You just plug it in and you'll have an interface we can get for you and you can just start loading it up yourself.
Yeah, I live in Australia. And at the moment, like my 1 hour YouTube.
Oh, so you got slow bandwidth. Okay.
It takes up to 12 hours to upload that 1 hour show.
All right. No worries.
When I was in LA, I did it in a motel connection in LA. It took 7 minutes.
I know. I've been through both.
Oh, my God. 12 hours.
So tell me, how many gig you think, how many videos do you got, you think?
Well, in my folder here, in my backup folder, because I lost so much stuff, but I managed to have some still on my laptop and on a couple of other drives. I've got one folder here, which is 251 gig.
Okay, we can do, we're going to be buying, we can get 4 terabytes for $150 that we can start putting everybody on. What we're trying to do is get it down to where, you know, under a terabyte that we can get a lot of people, but it's just not going to happen with all the video that's done. So what we'll do.
Well, I'll just send you.
You send me everything. No, you send me everything. No. There's not that one Max Egan show that's going to save the planet that you're going to take off, because damn it.
No, I'll send you a terabyte hard drive with this whole folder on it.
All right. You do that.
50 gig of,
We'll platform you.
Not a problem, brother.
You know, that is...
They're not dated. They're not dated. They go back as far as 2008, and they're not dated, so...
But do they have titles? Are they just titles, files, or are they titles?
No, they all have titles. They all have titles.
Okay. This is one thing that we were talking with a guy today about it, too. The biggest thing on IPFS is already it's working. We get the file, we're done. The problem is search, the search engines for it, to be able to find stuff as opposed to, because what we have now, it's done, it's there, but then we got to promote the link. Yeah, we got the link, you know, here it is, but now we're doing the, you know, being able to index it and all that. It's a whole nother thing. But what we're finding out is there's a lot of this is coming, and it seems to me that we're within a year or two of having big firms making this offer for people, and it's like those are afraid they're not going to be able to get rid of guys like you before that happens. And so we're not waiting. We don't have, it's not all pretty perfect, and it's got the search and all that. Don't care. We need to get the files. We need to save you, brother. We need to get you down to where it's done.
Well, I'll send you all these files, and you just got to give me a mailing address. I'll send you a drive.
Donna, send Max our mailing address, will you please?
All you'd have to do would be search on YouTube for the title of the video, and or even search my website for the title of the video, and that will give you the date and all that sort of stuff if you want that sort of stuff.
Well, if it's in the metadata in the file, as we pull it, you know, we can create its own. See, it's going to be you know, a index will be its own IPFS that will be the search page for all this stuff, and that's what it's wound up. I'm kind of getting the impression how that's working, but we got other developers and guys doing that. It was everything I could do for years. We've been setting it up for ourselves, and then once we got the template and ready and the technology there, then we're going, all right, We need to start saving these guys. And Corbett came to mind, you know, then, you know, Luke and Tragedy and Hope of Richard Grove. And then when you had your situation and you got fans and we got common friends and so on, and they actually freaking went after you because you did this just a benign evaluation of what you saw in the video you didn't even show on the Christchurch thing, I'm like, screw them, man. That is just so, and that's why my first question was when I asked you, what is it you think that makes you the big threat? Because I was
showing you the way out. I was showing you there's 4 points that can bring the government down. Get rid of all the smoke and noise. There's 4 clear points in this video that are not open for debate or dispute or this conjecture or speculation. You know, it shows the government's lying. It shows there are extra people there. Yeah. At least 2 we can see on film. 3 we can see on film because there's the people in the car as well. So, you know, the government's lying. It's right there on video. And get rid of all this speculation. You want to find out if it was CGI, find out if it was fake, find out if there were no bodies. Well, let's get an investigation. And you're not going to get it by making all those claims. You're going to get it by looking at these 4 points to prove the government's lying.
Is there any investigation? Is there still talk about it, or is it kind of gone quiet?
Let's talk about a royal commission. Let's talk about a royal commission. That'll probably be a royal commission into how this guy got his guns or whatever, you know. But there's a lot of people in New Zealand that are saying we want answers, that it wasn't a single shooter. So, but that's why they pulled me down, because I'm showing you 4 points that are not open for debate on this video, not speculation, that can bring the government down, and that's why they banned me.
You know, of all the shootings that we've had in America and all the things that's happened and tragedies around the world and everything, the one thing that I feel the closest of the kind of just ooh was the Las Vegas shooting. When that happened, that was just so not what they said. I don't know what happened, but it wasn't what they said happened. It wasn't the timeline that they happened. It wasn't to the degree that they happened. It was much more than what they said happened, and people have freaking video of it. And if you out there and consolidating, and we're having a meetup of meeting, and we're doing kind of, and you're dead. I mean, literally, people have died. So I'm going, this is amazing. Christchurch happens. I know the same kind of thing. You're going to get the same kind of treatment. So what do we get out of that? Yeah, they'll pass some more gun control this. They'll do a little bit of that. But in the end, it all comes down to there's some fundamental truths of what human beings are, how the governments treat us, and the lies. And the fact that they lie They're just losing any credibility for their existence. And the work that you do is pointing this out. And next time we talk, we'll talk more about ancient history and civilizations. And so I've been finding that of great interest for the past 3 months, 4 months or so. And it's just, it's getting to where you can't believe anything, even what you see. You know, I mean, it's just, it's so jacked up. So where's the fundamental, foundational-based truth? We're going to discuss it. Love you, Max. Glad that you're doing what you're doing. We want to help.
Thank you, bro. I much appreciate it. Happy to come on and have a chat with you anytime. You take care, huh?
You too, brother. Bye.